Good evening, everyone. It is nice to see you. And tonight we have a singing planned for any guests. And so we're going to spend time just worshiping God and putting our hearts into that. And so I hope you're ready for it. So we've got several men that have agreed to help tonight, reading scriptures and leading songs and prayer and invitation. So meditating on the words of our Savior to the seven churches of Asia that we have been discussing all month, this month, those first three chapters of Revelation, I'd like to meditate on that tonight in our worship since we have that fresh in our minds. So we will have a series of scripture readings and songs centered on themes and messages that the Spirit says to the churches, which He is also saying to us. I have been touched as we have gone through it this month. I've been touched again with the concise, relevant, admonishing, and deeply grounded truths and directives and promises given to us in these first few chapters that we've been studying. And so I hope that tonight we can simmer on them and let them take root in our hearts through hearing the word and responding in song and prayer. Let your singing be a reaction, a response to what you hear. And as you are singing, I encourage you to sing the phrases, not just the words, but to sing the thoughts as a single unit. To be engaged in that effort. It's easy to get lost in every beat or every syllable, but the music is to enhance the thoughts. That's really the purpose. So sing the entire thought, which is often one or two whole lines of music up there. It's not a single note. It's a whole line or two. So I think that you'll find when you do that, you don't get tired as quickly. And it's easier to keep your mind engaged, and your mind won't wander as much. So I challenge you to do that tonight as we're singing. And challenge all of us, leaders too, to do that. Sing the thoughts. So each scripture that you hear tonight will mark a new section of thought. And our sections will think about Jesus as our Savior. And he is presented at first in Revelation chapter 1, the first and the last. And the one who died. And then repent and do the works you did at first. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. To him who overcomes. And then hold fast what you have. So I encourage you to be engaged, sing with the understanding, sing the thoughts. Now we are blessed tonight because in Revelation chapter 1 it says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Can we stand together, please, and sing On You Stay?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord Almighty reigns. Hallelujah.
Would you just move this way towards the middle, if you don't mind, while we're standing? That way people coming in have a good place to sit and we're not as spread out. You may be seated. Thank you.
Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. And the living one, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this."
Before the throne of God
I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me.
I hear the
not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
I wanted to try and get in one newer song tonight. I know this one is probably brand new for most everyone, but I thought it fit well with Revelation. When we read about those churches, we know that many of them were undergoing persecution in a way that we haven't experienced yet. And yet, we are called to have the same kind of faith, so that if there was persecution, we would bear up under it, just like they bore up under it, and Jesus would tell us the same thing. So this new song is called "The Son of God Goes Forth to War." I'll just read the first line. The Son of God goes forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. His blood-red banner streams afar. Who follows in his train? Who best can drink his cup of woe, triumphant over pain? Who patient bears his cross below? He follows in his train. I'm going to read another. I'll read the third verse so you get an idea. A glorious band, the chosen few, on whom the Spirit came. 12 valiant saints, their hope they knew, and mocked the cross in flame. They met the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane. They bowed their heads, the death to feel. Who follows in their train? It's not a pleasant song, really, in a way. It's very sobering. But I think it's good for us to think about. And this tune is an old English tune. There's actually 4 songs in this book that use this tune, which is interesting. And it's a little bit different. It's going to sound old. So I think what I'm going to do, and it's in a minor key, which means it sounds a little more solemn than some of the major keys that we normally sing. So I think what I want to do is I'm just going to sing a line, a phrase, and then you can repeat it. All right. Do, me, so, me. So here's the first line. The Son of God goes forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. Can you do that?
The Son of God goes forth to war, a
ancient too, doesn't it? It's kind of a okay. So now, let's try the first verse because we know the words now, we're familiar with it. We'll try all the parts. So I have no idea how it's going to go. So basses, you're here, tenors and sopranos, then altos. So let's try that. All right. First one.
The Son of God goes forth to war.
I shouldn't be worried about this group. All right, let's go on. We'll go on verse 2 and we'll just sing it, okay? Verse 2.
That
Please bow with me and let's pray together. Our holy God, exalted in the heavens, with an emerald rainbow around your throne, surrounded by 24 elders in white and gold crowns, lightning comes forth from your throne and a sea of glass like crystal surrounds you. You are perfect and untouchable and glorious. Yet you condescended to us to tell us just a little of your will, just enough for us to understand, to show us that you love us, to give us a glimpse into your nature and your mind through your great word and your wonderful creation. We have an ear to hear, and we hear what your Spirit says to us. We hear your warnings for us to repent. We mourn for our failures. We ask for your forgiveness. We know that our lives have not lived up to your glory, and we repent tonight in sackcloth and ashes. We hear your words of comfort for the sufferings we will bear. We thank you so much that you are with us when no one else is, that you understand our weaknesses when we can't even understand them ourselves, and when you are the kind of friend that will not leave us no matter what. We hear your promises of reward and your blessings for when we overcome, and we rejoice because this life is not easy and we are sacrificing a lot to follow you. And so we ask that your promises for us will be evident to us soon, that we will see the glory that you have promised us and that we will be able to live for eternity with you in heaven. And we hear your encouragement for us to hold fast, for it's not over yet and there are more battles to fight and Satan has more armies that he will unleash against us. And there will be dragons to overcome, and there will be adulterous nations. And so we pray for your strength to overcome. We hear you. We promise to obey, to follow, and to trust. We open the door of our hearts to you, and we welcome you in. Amen.
To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star.
He who overcomes will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
Oh, for a faith that will not seek for the Messiah. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have anchor that keeps us
have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown.
Once again, this song is in a minor key, so think of those images that Benji was talking about. Sometimes I envision like kind of druids. I feel like we should have some hoods on or something when you sing in a minor key. Think of kind of like in the immortal words of the Dread Pirate Roberts, life is pain. Anyone who says otherwise is selling something. And that's silly, and it brings a smile to our face when we think about that quote. But that is a lot of what life has been with a lot of humanity, is pain. And we are longing for that morning. We're longing for that next day when Christ has conquered and comes again. And so this song, How Long Till Morning, be thinking about those, as Benji was talking about, with those phrases as we sing it.
Consider the warnings of this mortal life. These are new beginning from the Maker's hand. While the storms may gather against the evening star, till day breaks, cloudless in the morning. How long, Lord, till we see the
extra song in case we had time, and I think we do. So let's sing it.
So in the resurrection morning, when the trumpet God shall sound, we shall run.
I want to thank Benji for organizing the service tonight. As we draw some of our thoughts to a close, you know, as Americans, we love our rights. I think it's fair to say that the very foundation of our country is based on us demanding our rights. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. After America had won her independence from Great Britain, the Constitution of the United States was established. The first 10 articles are known as the Bill of Rights, and it lists those rights that we have as U.S. citizens. Among these are things like the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms, the rights of personal property, the rights of due justice, and so on. These rights that we have are amazing. And we are a blessed people to have a government that in a large part does its best to secure these rights for us each day. But all governments are fragile institutions, run by men who of every generation will question whether or not these rights are still valid and whether it is the government's responsibility to uphold them. This past month, we have been blessed to study from the book of Revelation, and the message is written to the seven churches of Asia. In these letters, we read about the rights of Christians that overcome and hold fast, that are not guaranteed by human institutions, but by Jesus Christ himself, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the one whose words are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here are some of the promises that we have read about. The right to overcome, to have power over the nations. The right to be a pillar in the temple of God. The right to wear holy garments. To have our names written in the book of life. To have Jesus confess our name before God and the angels in heaven. The right not to be hurt by the second death. The right to sit on the throne with Christ. The right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In view of eternity, our rights as U.S. citizens are merely but a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. Whereas the spiritual rights that belong to us in Christ Jesus will span all the way into eternity, and they far outweigh these rights that have been granted to us by a constitution. And while blood may have been shed to grant us our freedom here on earth, our spiritual rights were bought with the blood of the Son of God, who bore our sins on the cross, who has overcome death and the power of sin in our lives, and is now seated victorious at the right hand of God, intercessing on our behalf. The only way that you can have these kind of rights is to put on Christ in baptism, to have his blood cover your sins, so you can be rebirthed into his kingdom, into his citizenship. For all of us who have been reborn, we need to heed the warnings of this letter, to hold fast and to overcome. If there's anyone who happens to be in the audience tonight who has not been spiritually reborn and would like to have these rights granted to us in our Christian citizenship, or if there's anybody who's been a Christian who needs help of this congregation to hold fast and overcome, please let your wishes be made known as we stand and sing.